Welcome back. 10 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. Joining us by phone, Dr. Tim Keller, best-selling author and the pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City. Tim has a brand new book out entitled Making Sense of God, which I'm personally looking forward to reading. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Before we get into your new book, I'd just like to ask you briefly, what is the mood like in New York, given the events of the past 48 hours?
New Yorkers are a little bit, battle-hardened, a bit. I mean, over the last 15 years, there's been a lot of scares and things, but I think there's a fair amount of relief this morning. It may be that the person was caught and that there wasn't a, and the person didn't seem like they were, in cahoots with a whole lot of other people. There's a certain amount of relief, I think, right now, but wariness, you know.
Well, we certainly thank the federal and local authorities who have done such a great job in protecting us and are, you know, on the job. We need to be praying for them. They have a very challenging task of identifying these potential terrorists.
Yeah, so, it's been reassuring here. They seem to have done really good work. So.
So you have this new book out called Making Sense of God, brand new. I read The Reason for God when it first came out, absolutely loved it. What's the basic premise of this new book, Tim?
Well, the premise is that I think there's a lot of people that aren't going to read Reason for God because they actually don't think Christianity is even makes enough sense to them personally. I've talked to people who say, I'm not going to sit down and read a 300-page book on why Christianity is true, but I don't care if it's true. I don't even care because I don't see it offering anything to me personally or to our society. It seems to be either useless or maybe even bad for people. So Making Sense of God is actually a kind of prequel. I know that sounds a little silly, but it would really be for someone who is too skeptical that that Christianity is even useful or even helpful or relevant in any way. But it's really not simply a book that tells you, here's how wonderful your life would be if you're a Christian. What it's trying to do is trying to show that Christianity makes more sense emotionally and culturally than, say, secularism or, say, a life without God. So it's doing the work of arguing for why Christianity makes sense. But I guess I would say before you will take the time to study whether Christianity is true, you first have to think it would be a good idea if it were true. And that's what Making Sense of God is trying to establish.
Do you think there are a significant number of Americans who have sort of bought into the, the neo-atheist argument that Christianity is a horrible thing, it's a bad thing, it's an evil thing, it hurts society?
Yeah, see, that's right. Because it used to be, to me, I mean, I'm old enough that I remember when people disbelieved in there have always been people around who didn't believe in religion. They didn't believe in God. But now, what they're saying is even respect for religion is a bad thing. It's not just religion is wrong, but even respecting it is bad because it's bad. It's not just mistaken. It's bad for you. And this book is addressing that. And I think you're absolutely right. And younger people especially have bought into that. Not so much that that Christianity is not true, but that it's actually bad for you.
Now, you have talked to, a lot of skeptics over the years, and I know in your early years at Redeemer Presbyterian, you actually, after your sermons, you would stick around and invite the audience to ask questions, kind of an open forum, and you got a lot of good ones, which you mentioned in Reason for God. Would you say that when you talk to skeptics, and you've talked to a lot of them, are the biggest barriers to faith for them primarily intellectual, or are they just as likely to be emotional?
That's exactly right. It's just as likely. Now, I would never say, and I don't think it's fair to say that people reject God for just emotional reasons. No, there's real fair, intellectual, rational objections and questions to belief in God. Of course there are. But I would say it's frankly equal, and that because we actually don't arrive at either our belief or our non-belief strictly through reason. We arrive at it through a combination of things, and a lot of it has to do with our feelings, our intuitions, our relationships. So I would say it's about equal. Now that's my, I say that's my case in a way in the book, that you come to your belief or your disbelief through both emotional, cultural, and rational reasons.
How many people have you talked to, Tim, in your life that when you start kind of digging into their background, their family of origin, you find a really destructive relationship with dad?
Well, not. I don't know that I would say. I don't know. I would say, though, that bad relationships in the family, if you had a believing family, and you've got bad relationships in the family with your father or your mother, actually, and also or just bad relationships with churches. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. Is generally speaking, I would say that's more often than not that people have rejected religion have had bad experiences in a believing family or in a believing church with people who really wronged them very often.
Which is so tragic, and I think it behooves all of us to be sensitive to that when we're talking to a skeptic, to an unbeliever, and to ask those questions. You did a great job in Reason for God and using Socratic questioning. Is that the kind of the method you use in this book as well, to sort of help people, lead them to sort of the end of their logical rope?
Yeah, sometimes. It's a little less so, because what I do in this book is I take stuff that's issues that are not as intellectual, so it's like meaning in life. Where do you get a meaning in life that can handle suffering when it comes along? Where, how do you get satisfaction? What is your identity, and how do you get an identity that's not fragile? You see, those are not exactly intellectual issues, but everybody's grappling with them. And I try to show that Christianity gives you better resources than the alternative ways of thinking about the world. So that's an argument, of course, but it's not quite as Socratic. The whole book is more about the personal and social aspects of your faith rather than the intellectual.
Now, a common objection that skeptics will bring up, and I'm not sure, I think addressed this in Reason for God, is, you know, we can't prove the existence of God. So,
yeah.
So what kind of evidence do you think skeptics should consider?
Well, here, that's a, yes. And by the way, I do, in this book, I really take hold of that. Because I hear that all the time, and basically I have almost an entire chapter devoted to the fact that that is a set of, when you say, I believe in God or Christianity, if you could prove it to me, that assumes a set of beliefs about how rationality works. See, what you have to come back and say is, most of the things you base your life on, most of the convictions and beliefs you base your whole life on, like maybe about human rights or about this or that, you can't prove empirically either. And actually, rationality doesn't work like that. Very few things can you absolutely demonstrably prove. You can prove that a substance X will boil at Y degrees under barometric pressure Z. You can prove things like that, but you can hardly prove anything else. And therefore, you come to your conclusions through a variety of ways. And you mustn't tell Christians that they have a standard for their beliefs that you don't have for your own. And I have a whole chapter on that. And because we really, you have to level the playing field. You can't let skeptical people simply say, I've got reason, you don't. You have to come up here and arrive at my level where everything I do is rational. That's not true. So there's a whole chapter on that.
We got to remind ourselves that oftentimes that playing field is not leveled. Just in the minute or so we have left, Tim, let me ask you this. One idea you bring up in the book is the relevance of faith in God. And yet we live in a world where a lot of people think, well, how we could just do fine without him. So how do you argue that religion is still relevant?
Well, in the book, that's what the whole book's about, really. So in 5 seconds, what do I say? I mean, what I try to show is that philosophers are starting to see that science, for example, actually has no moral guidelines to it. Science can't tell you how the technology ought to be used. Science can just tell you, here's how you get this done and this done. There are some pretty high-level philosophers saying, you know, unless we have some kind of moral guidelines that do not come from science, science is just going to do whatever it can do. All the way down to people who basically, when they face suffering and difficulty, begin to realize, I need something beyond myself. So in the book, I do everything from that to that and try to, there's basically the whole book's about showing why faith in Christ is the most relevant thing possible.
Mm. The book is called Making Sense of God. Dr. Tim Keller, thanks so much for your time this morning. And we just appreciate so much your dedication to scholarship and God's truth.
Well, thank you for your great questions.
Thanks. Take care.